Good day to everyone. It's an honor to be here. After WikiLeaks published the Iraq war logs, which Chelsea Manning had disclosed, Amnesty International and the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture urged the U.S. President Barack Obama to order an investigation into the complicity of U.S. forces in handing detainees over to the Iraqi security forces in Iraq, who then tortured them. It was reported that U.S. authorities failed to investigate hundreds of reports of abuse, torture, rape, and even murder by Iraqi police and soldiers, and that conduct appeared to be systematic and normally unpunished. A 2006 diplomatic cable that Manning disclosed to WikiLeaks referred to the killing of an Iraqi farmer and his family by U.S. forces. U.S. officials declared that the allegations that the troops executed the family and then hid the alleged crimes by directing an airstrike were absolutely false. The author of the cable, however, the U.N. Special Rapporteur on Extrajudicial Summary and Arbitrary Executions, wrote in that cable that autopsies carried out at Tikrit Hospital revealed all the corpses were shot in the head and handcuffed. The night raid by U.S. forces had killed 11 people, including an elderly woman in her 70s and a five-month-old baby. There was never a response to the cable by Philip Alston, the UN Special Rapporteur. During Chelsea Manning's pretrial confinement, she was stripped of her underwear, forced to stand naked at attention, and held 23 hours a day in a 6x8 cell, under 24-hour surveillance by prison guards, whom she was forced to say she was okay to every 5 minutes. As you know from the previous speaker, she was not permitted to speak to other prisoners and was held in essentially solitary confinement. But during the day, she was also not permitted to lay down or to lean her back against the wall. She had to sit on the edge of her bed for her waking hours with her feet touching the ground. After public outcry, she was granted more recreation time, but for her first half of her time in her pretrial confinement, she was only granted 20 minutes outside per week. When she was escorted outside of her cell for the 1 hour that she was outside, or the 20 minutes per week of sunshine call, what they call recreation outside, she was in full body restraints, so her arms and legs were bound. The restraints prevented her from being able to stand up on her own, so while she was on this recreation call, two guards had to stand next to her so she wouldn't fall down. Prison commanders kept her in these conditions against the recommendation of the prison's own mental health professionals, who said that Manning was not a threat to herself or others and that her status should be downgraded. The U.S. Army judge at Manning's court-martial would not permit the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture to testify at her trial. The judge ruled that the United Nations did not possess the force of law and was not controlling of legal determinations in American courts. The military judge at her court-martial did rule that her pretrial confinement was illegal, but she only granted Manning 112 days reprieve on a 35-year sentence. The UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Juan Mendez, would have testified that U.S. officials told him that Manning's confinement conditions before her trial were imposed on her on account of the seriousness of the charges of which she was accused of. In other words, what you and I would consider pretrial punishment, which is illegal. The UN Special Rapporteur on Torture ruled that Manning's treatment was cruel and unusual. Whistleblowers in the U.S. military intelligence sector have none legal means of publicly disclosing classified information about how the state illegally or wrongfully employs violence. The lack of transparency at her court-martial raises serious questions about the justice of her conviction. Transparency is vital to the public's perception of the legitimacy of a criminal proceeding. The failure to allow the public access to the court documents at her trial caused irrevocable harm to the public's right to understand and scrutinize the proceedings. The public was denied access to 30,000 pages of court documents until 18 months into the legal proceeding, which lasted 20 months. The public did not even have an official transcript of how Manning pled to the charges and there were 22 of them, so they were very complicated. The military judge also ruled that Manning's good motive to inform the public was not relevant at her trial. Manning's motive, therefore, could not be used to mitigate the accusation against her drawn from the language of the Espionage Act, of which she was charged, that she had reason to believe that her actions would harm the United States. Her trial reflects President Barack Obama's unprecedented campaign against U.S. whistleblowers employing the Espionage Act of 1917, a statute intended to prosecute spies. The U.S. Department of Justice argues in another espionage case that leaks to the press are a greater threat to society than when spies provide classified information to a foreign government. We often hear in the media that Manning was less responsible than Edward Snowden, who released information or disclosed classified information about U.S. mass surveillance. Because Manning, it's alleged in the press, dumped material onto the internet. But this accusation in the press does not hold up under the facts of what had actually occurred at her court-martial, because Manning was only charged under the Espionage Act for approximately 240 documents out of the 750,000 that she disclosed. And the documents that she disclosed had already been widely disseminated amongst at least 500,000 U.S. government employees and federal contractors. The documents actually charged against Manning under the Espionage Act, which number approximately 240, would presumably carry the weight of harm that could happen to the United States based on the Espionage Act language. When the charged documents, however, are examined, they include a diplomatic cable relating to malaria updates in Kingston, Jamaica, and three detainee assessment briefs from Guantanamo Bay for three UK residents who were held and released without trial or charges from Guantanamo Bay. They're called the Tipton Three. According to military prosecutors at Manning's court-martial, the UK residents, the Tipton Three, are considered terrorist recidivists because they are, quote, former detainees involved in anti-American propaganda or criticism, by which military prosecutors mean documentaries that advocate for the closing of Guantanamo Bay. So in addition to Manning's good motive being excluded as not relevant at trial, the evidence about the actual lack of damage from the release itself was also considered to be not permissible and not relevant. So in other words, Manning was convicted to 35 years in prison on a probable harm standard, not actual damage, and sentenced to 35 years on potential risk, which the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency determined was low to moderate. Despite Manning having been held longer than any accused awaiting court-martial in known U.S. military history, the military judge ruled that her speedy trial rights had not been violated. But this court-martial is really about more than Chelsea Manning. It's really about you and I, because Manning was charged with aiding the enemy, which is one of two offenses under the U.S. Uniform Code of Military Justice, which applies to any person and not just military personnel. Her prosecution, even though she was acquitted, set a very broad legal precedent in the United States. All a prosecutor would have to prove in any future legal case against a whistleblower or a publisher is that the accused knew that the enemy of the United States or a foreign adversary of the United States used the media organization's platform to collect intelligence. The state itself does not have an ethical or a moral imperative. The verdict of the ages is that the legitimacy of a law or a policy and the state itself derives itself from its dependence on the public conscience. It derives its morality or its ethics from its dependence on the public conscience. So caught in an expanding, secret, and amoral U.S. executive, Manning's conscience compelled her to appeal to a higher law, which is the public conscience. And for that reason, I urge you to pressure the U.S. administration to pardon her and release her immediately. Thank you.
Y muchísimas gracias.